Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvater.
Dr. Cher Downing is a sought-after consultant and industry coach, the CEO and founder of Downing EdTech Consulting, a company specializing in entrepreneurial e-learning, creative design, affiliate vendor partnerships, and executive coaching. With over three decades of experience in the digital arena during the evolution of online learning, her focus is to define opportunities for individuals and companies in professional and organizational brand growth. She recently founded the Speakers Resource Group, a centralized membership service to enhance all levels of professional development through training, community support, and direct access to industry experts. I'm excited that she's here with me today.
Welcome to the Soar to Success podcast, Cher. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you, Pat. I'm excited to be here.
Good. Well, I'm sure our audience is going to be thrilled to get to know more about you and what you have going on right now. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you do right now and why, more importantly, why? Why do you do it?
I'm happy to do so. So after a lengthy career in higher ed, I made the transition to becoming a consultant and opening my own firm. And within that, I do several different facets of smaller, almost incubator kind of businesses within, which we'll get more into. But really, the reason for it is that my years of experience have taught me that the relationships are not always there when we're trying to bring technology and people together. Technology has always been a forcible movement, and it can be a pain point for a lot of people. And ironically, you know, not long after starting my business, then the pandemic hit and people literally were forced to embrace technology. And so, you know, there's just a better way to do it. And so we're all about creating those relationships and helping people transition and move into them.
Yes. And don't you think it's interesting that the technology was sitting here waiting for us, but we weren't ready to use it. And then the pandemic sort of forced us to it.
You know, that is one of the biggest things is I've been doing this for a long time, and I was fortunate enough to be in technology and, online learning since its inception. So it was really a no-brainer for me. Easy transition, work from home, not a problem. And all of a sudden, you know, last March, the entire world came to a screeching halt and everyone started working remotely and people are, you know, grousing about figuring out where to plug things in and how to use things and all. And I'm thinking there's no difference to my day. Every day is still the same because I embraced it a long time ago. And now, you know, seeing other people start to embrace it and realize really almost a recollection of not understanding before why I did what I did. And now they look at me and go, oh, now I get it. Yeah. So it's really kind of a full circle situation.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. I love that people are starting more working remote. And I used to work in education. And just at the time that online learning was coming along, I think it's really cool now that everybody is ready to embrace that sort of technology, even, you know, the grade school kids and high school students. So tell us about what you did. In midlife, you made a transition. What's that all about?
So 33 years into a career in higher ed, started back in the 80s in admissions and in conferencing back in the day when you stood behind a table and greeted people, wrote things out by hand, handed them cards, and then moved into the academic side when e-learning, which at that time was called distance learning, about mid-90s, started to become a point of conversation and went back to school. Started working on advanced degrees that focused on online learning and helped different institutions, I've worked for several, grow and promote their programs. And then, worked all the way up to the highest level I could get in that sector. And if you're familiar with education at all, even in corporations, you know, there's always a ladder that goes with a certain title. So I reached that kind of, pivotal top point. And the next choices were moving into general administration at a university level. And something I never wanted to do, was not of interest to me. And I thought, boy, you know, I've hit the peak. So what do I do now? Either I keep doing what I'm doing, I go someplace new and keep doing what I'm doing. Or I start thinking about, you know, what's phase two in my life? What do I want to do different? And I just decided that I really wanted to take my experience and my knowledge, but I wanted to do it in a different way. I've always been kind of that oddball night owl, you know, anti-schedule kind of individual in that sense. And I really saw an opportunity to, you know, build something that kind of fit a niche out there, really used my experience, but just allowed me to have fun and kind of have a little more balance in my life and a little more choice in my life. And ironically, again, then we get to the pandemic and now everyone's going, hey, this is kind of a cool thing. You know, I may want to kind of live my life this way. So, you know, it's been a journey. It really has been, because I had a wonderful career in higher ed. I've worked for all different types of institutions. I've worked in the private sector. I've worked in the corporate training sector. So I gained a lot of great experience all the way through. And then I decided now, you know, somebody said, is it your midlife crisis? And I said, I don't think it's a crisis. I think it's a midlife realization of, I'm tired of spending my, you know, 40 hours a week for someone else and being locked into something when I can create and do something of my own.
Yeah. And what is it about online learning that attracted you in the first place back in the 90s?
So there's two things. One is personal and one is professional. So professionally, I worked for someone who was always a visionary, still is. And, you know, he came to me and said, we have an understanding that this is starting to happen at other schools. And we're not really sure what it is, but we definitely want to do something with it. So research it, figure it out. And so when I came back with, you know, what I had found and where it was kind of going, he encouraged me to just take the institution forward with it. And we were a small school, we could do that. And so that really kind of was the lockstep. And I did a graduate certificate to get knowledge. And then that led to a master's, it led to a doctorate. You know, it just kind of, I wanted to learn more. I wanted to know what was going on out in the world with it. Personally, I'm a visual learner. And I retain certain things really, really above and beyond. So I can tell you every address, every phone number I've ever had in my entire life from memory.
Oh my God.
you know, I can tell you numbers for accounts of things, you know, every school ID I've ever had. All of those things retain very, very easily with me. You know, I cannot for the life of me figure out which direction a battery goes in when I have to put it in something. Even with the little drawings on it, there's a very strange analytical way that my brain works. Mm-hmm. And so I got visual stimulation through e-learning, even back then when it was just flat, you know, text and picture, but the technology just really started to intrigue me. I'm a very much, why do things work the way they do? How do they work? You know, I need to know the intricacies of why it does something and why it should do something and it's not doing it. And so it was just a field that brought together that education and that technical piece together into one. And I got really excited about it. And, you know, the joke in my family I never liked school growing up. And, you know, I earned 3 degrees in about, 7 or 8 years ago. Now I went back to school and did a postdoctoral master's in intellectual property and digital media. Because of the field that I work in. Yeah. So, you know, my dad used to joke that, you know, I didn't like school in the beginning and then I end up with 4 degrees. So there's something that's not quite right there. But it's because I found something that just really intrigued me and I could never find the full answer to it.
Yeah, that is so interesting. And so online learning, how does that with what you're doing right now? Tell us more about what you're doing and how you took those skills that you had before and brought it to what you're offering now.
Sure. So our company does 3 different areas. We handle e-learning development. We handle affiliate partnerships with vendors, and we work with executive coaching specific to people in the ed tech industry.
Okay.
So in the e-learning development portion, we do as little or as much as you're interested in. We do work with some companies, but we are starting to really work with entrepreneurs, people who are doing their business, who, because of the pandemic, have figured out, wow, now my training's got to be online. You know, mm-hmm. I really need to have certain things available. Or, you know, I use the example of people who are doing like life coaching or other types of coaching who want to offer courses to their constituents and have that all be available online. For some people, they know how to do it. For you, for example, you have a background in education, so content isn't an issue for you. Mm-hmm. But moving that content into an online environment that makes sense is where we would step in and help you. Mm-hmm. For others, we help them organize their content. You know, people who have been in this a long time and who do a lot of things in business and in education find that they have a ton of content, but really no order to it that will make sense to anyone else. So we help them organize that. We have a great team of instructional designers, graphic designers, who can help you, you know, make something look different, figure out the best methodology for doing it. They're all senior level, so they have, you know, been trained appropriately in the field. And so that's really where we just kind of can white glove concierge the whole thing for you, or we can just hold your hand and help you through the navigational pieces that are difficult for you.
What about when it's done? Then do you help them launch it and sell it? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we do help launch, and it depends on the platform that they're using. Some of them already have a platform secured, and we can do that. We can help them choose a platform if that's easier. Usually the sales portion, we set up the sales pages for them based on, you know, kind of the intricacies that they want. They take it from there. Their e-commerce portion gets all handled on their side. Sometimes it's just connectivity. How do we connect that course to an existing system they're already using, mm-hmm. so that they have that, you know, instantaneous purchase, that you're not wandering from website to website or space to space. So, you know, we help them figure out what it is that they need to have done and then work them through that process. And then we're also available if they run into a problem with it, you know, they want to maybe change a page, those sorts of things. But we try to train you also. So some people like the train the trainer concept, you know, once they've got it figured out, they want to go forth and do it on their own. And that's perfectly fine with us. We're happy to, you know, that's the academic in me. We're happy to teach you and send you off into the world. Yeah. But for other folks, you know, it's also a time commitment. And sometimes people start to weigh out, you know, is it really worth my time working on this versus hiring someone in your group to do this? Yeah. And the best part about this is that everyone that works for me also does work in their field. And so we really try to incorporate bringing in the best of the best. If you're getting a coaching session and you have a particular issue, you know, we don't profess to know everything. So we'll bring in an expert in that particular issue. We do that with our e-development, even with our vendor partnerships. You know, if there's a technical issue that's beyond our scope, we'll bring in someone that can work with it. We have legal counsel that works with it as well. We want to make sure that people have the right information and resources to make the right decisions and that they feel comfortable with relationships to take things forward.
Yes. And so what do you think is the biggest challenge, especially for entrepreneurs, as they're thinking about creating some online courses? I mean, that's a big hot topic now since the pandemic. And so everybody's rushing to do it. And so a lot of people are making courses and then they never sell more than two, their mother and their dad.
So, exactly.
So what do you think is the biggest challenge that people are facing when they're going in their thought process before they start the creation?
I think the biggest problem that everyone has, and this is just kind of a natural habit for all of us, is they take on the entire project at once. Mm-hmm. So, you know, somewhere in the back of their mind, they're thinking there's going to be five courses and, you know, they're going to sell all of them at this price, at da, 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 da. Yeah. And what they haven't thought of is even how to market, distribute, you know, is there even anybody out there that wants to take this course?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we back them out of it. We want to know what the end is. We want to know, you know, what the dream is, but we back them out of it and start to break that down into segments that are more manageable. A lot of times I see people will try to write the course and design it at the same time. Uh-huh. So, you know, they're taking all this content out of their head, or they're, you know, writing and then Googling and writing and Googling and then pushing it into some sort of platform and wondering why it doesn't make sense and why it's not working. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people, I said, you know, if you take all the ingredients to make a cake and you throw them in the bowl and you set the bowl in the oven, it's probably not going to be a cake. You know, there's a reason. It's a step-by-step methodology to get to that end result, which is a wonderful cake that you'll enjoy.
Yeah.
And I said, so, you know, those are the kinds of things where people just get really too far ahead of themselves in scope and they bite off more than they can chew. So, you know, sometimes we can help them figure out where they want to go. Sometimes we can say to them, you know, have you even started your homework? I had a client, prospective client recently who hasn't even done any market research. And so I said, you know, I'm not telling you to go out and interview, you know, thousands of people, but you know, is anyone else doing this? Is there a niche out there? Is there an interest out there? Because you're going to put a lot of money into something. And then, like you said, you know, your cousin and your dad buy it and that's it. And she came back and said, you know, we want to get back together after the first year. She said, because you were right. We don't find any interest in this area, but it led us to another area that we're also very good at. And we're seeing a lot of interest in that. So we're going to regroup and come back to the table.
I love that story. I think that is so true because people have this preconceived notion of, oh, this is what people are going to like. And I know that's what they're going to like. But then when you start talking and really are open to listening, you find out, oh, wait, they can get that somewhere else. But this little piece that I'm a specialist in, they can't get somewhere else.
Exactly.
So that's really great. So tell me about the speaker resource group that you have going on. Tell us what that is and how that came about.
So that is one of our incubators, and that came about, interestingly enough, because we kept seeing a list of people who were really interested in speaking, and, you know, oftentimes when we think of speaking, we think of big audiences and on the stage, but, you know, these are people that want to do a really good conference presentation. They really want to maybe start to do some YouTube videos, you know, interviews like this. There's a lot of different ways that we speak all the time. And we all recognize when someone is a fantastic speaker, we love their energy, we love their presence. And we all are quick to judge when we watch someone and say, wow, that was painful. What we found though, was that there's kind of a divide between the real starter group. So you can find a group locally that trains you to, you know, be a better speaker, but it's not really going to move you forward anywhere. And there's a group that says, you're going to be the next Tony Robbins, you know, mm-hmm. up on stage, 100,000 people in the auditorium kind of thing. And there was nobody in that middle section. And there was nobody to help you transition. And again, being an academic, you know, I always think of faculty spend years on stage.
Yes.
We lecture, you know, we go to conferences, we do all of these things. And then one day we retire or we get an offer to go to a private sector. And that's a different audience. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how to react to that different audience. You know, we've been so in that academic realm. And so there's just a lot of those kind of little spaces that people just aren't getting what they need from a group. And then when we did research, we saw people saying, oh yeah, I have a membership, I haven't logged in 6 months, or you know, I log in, but you know, I can't really find anybody like me, and so I feel kind of inferior, and I just, you know, I'll stop going. And so we said, okay, let's build a community. Let's build a community where people can learn from each other and grow. And let's bring in experts that not only can they learn from them in that platform, but they can follow that expert outside of it and do other things with them. So, you know, if someone is doing coaching and they give a great webinar and you took it and you loved it, maybe you visited with them live in the community chat area. And then you think, you know what, I'm going to spend the money and I want that person to be my coach because I want to move my career forward. Now you've got the opportunity. You've already connected with them. You know them. You can say to them, all right, I'm ready privately, one-on-one, to go this route outside of this group, but I have access to you instead of a cold call or filling out a form on a website and hoping you call me back kind of thing. So we really wanted to fill in that space for people and give them something to help them transition, whatever that transition is going to be.
Yeah. And so how are you attracting the people to come and spreading the word about what you have to offer?
Sure. So we obviously are collecting up contributing experts right now, one of which is going to be you. I'm so excited about. And so that's great. You know, we're getting people from all different areas and we want to cover all different gambits. It's not just about the speaking. How do you look when you're on Zoom? You know, right lighting, hair, makeup, everything. And then we're doing a large drawing starting in January. You know, you're kicking off 2021. Now is the time to really get going on these things. So we're doing a huge campaign that rolls out this week. We have a great community engagement director who is going to be in that space and working with people and talking with them every week, making sure they're getting connected with the way they want to. She's there for warm transfer. So if you're a member logging in and you finally say, I really want to talk to Pat, she's going to make that happen. She's going to, you know, introduce you, help you to get to that point. So we're really excited with the draw this week. And then in January, we're going to be doing some activities for getting, you know, a free membership for a certain period of time and some opportunities to find a pal, seek a mentor kinds of things. So a lot of good things coming up for 2021 and a lot of opportunities for people at any level to really just help promote, move themselves forward.
Yeah, great. And so virtual as well as live speaking.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We definitely want to do live because I think we're all a little pained with doing virtual lately. You know, and for those of us that are used to it, it's not quite as painful, but for everyone else, I know it's hard. But I also think, you know, there's still a capacity in doing live things where it's just a different feel. It's just, you really feel like it's timely. You feel more connected to the person that's speaking. And, you know, you get your answer right when you're asking your question as opposed to submitting it and waiting for it to come back. And so we really want to bring that feel in. We really want to also promote if someone has an event coming up. So say you're doing a presentation in May and you really want help before that comes up, that we get that information and we can help you through that.
Yeah. And what about creating webinars? That seems to be something that I see people struggling with too. Is that going to be an aspect for this too?
Absolutely. So we're going to have some people that are going to teach you how to set up better Zoom calls, how to set up webinars, you know, what should be seen in your backgrounds. You know, one of the things that we were talking about is everyone's into using the new Zoom backgrounds, but you have to sit very, very still or, you know, you kind of disappear. I had someone the other day and I looked down at the paper and I looked up. His head and his hands were gone. It was just his shirt. And so it was kind of like the Invisible Man movie, you know. It was really weird. And that is, you know, if you're answering a question or giving a presentation, that is really distracting.
Oh my god. Really distracting.
Yeah. And you of course don't realize it because you're not really paying attention to yourself on screen, or maybe you don't even have yourself up. You have, you know, the group up. Yeah. So we want people to understand what are the types of options to do with that. And then, you know, how to set your webinar up. Also tools. You know, one of the things that I always tell people is when we record for our podcasts, we edit. And so, you know, there are ways that you, John Q. Public, can pay to have a transcript edited, can pay to have the video edited. Because many people think, boy, I don't know how to do video editing. You know, what am I going to do with this? Right. Maybe I said every other word. Well, you know, there are services that aren't very expensive that you can have that taken care of. And so we want people to recognize that's something that they can do because we're seeing a lot of conferences now that are allowing you the option to pre-record your presentation.
Yeah.
And then really? Submit it in.
Wow. Even for 2021?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I received one just this morning where they're doing a hybrid version. So their intent is to be live, but they're going to have it on Zoom just in case. And you can attend less expensively on Zoom, which for a lot of people that may still be an option. But if you want to put in a proposal, you can mark on there if you want to pre-record it and submit it to them. You do have to be live for the question and answer session. So you just log in, and once it's done running, you're there. But you know, you want that presentation then to be top notch while people are watching it. So we want to help you do that as well.
Wow. It sounds like there's going to be so many resources for people. I can't wait for it to get rolling. It sounds so great. Good. And I, do you think this is going to be the wave of the future as far as hybrid meetings? Do you think people will continue to do that even after it's safe, who knows when, to meet, you know, live?
I think there's going to be a percentage of it that's going to carry on. You know, we were talking about this the other day in a group, and one of the things that makes it difficult for not being face-to-face is there is a group of people of a certain age that feel you can only get things done if you're all in the same room at the same time. And it's not a fault of theirs. It's what they're used to. Then there's the group of age that understands this can be done, may not be their favorite way, but they can muddle their way through it and it's fine. Then there's the group of age that's like, why are you people all getting in the same room? You know, we can do this with one click. So as we start to see the next transition of people retiring and such, that first group is going to become lesser and lesser. You combine that with companies who are going, wow, we are saving a lot of money with everyone working remotely. And if I'm not paying for everyone to travel to a conference or to an event, this is incredible. You know, we're really seeing savings. We find that people are more attentive. They're actually going to things, you know, and they're going to more things because they're not having to commute or grab a taxi or, you know, all of those kinds of things. So I think we're going to continue to see more of it. I think we'll see the hybrid. There'll always be those people that want to go, you know, just for the sake of travel and to see friends and stuff. But I also think there's a greater return on investment because a company, a school, anybody that puts people through a conference suddenly can get the analytics and see and talk to the individual about what they've learned and what they've done. So you're starting to see a return on investment, whereas right now when you travel, sometimes you just kind of hope for the best. You know, you send somebody and you hope they come back with something.
And you know, even for me as a solopreneur, I travel to many cities in the Midwest, talking to people, selling my product. And I also network in those cities too. And so I would put 40 to 50,000 miles a year on my car. And this year I have like 5,000. And it's so much better because it doesn't take me 3 hours to get to talk to somebody, but I can talk to them. I can just get on a Zoom call and talk to them. And then I'm on to something else. And I love it. And I'm in that age, the older folks, but you know, I'm an early adapter of technology. So, so this was an easy transition for me, but I just can't imagine going back. I'm like, really? You're going to make us have our meetings in person again? Please, no.
You know, and I think there's also the piece of it that, you know, we're seeing better productivity and the numbers are early. But when you think about it, in most major cities, people are spending 2 hours a day commuting. So, you know, 2 hours commuting, 8 hours of meetings and, you know, lunch at your desk or maybe no lunch at all. And then getting home, trying to spend time with your family, you know, eating dinner late, still things to work on. Maybe you're trying to go to school. Maybe you're trying to help your kids with school. Less sleep, get up the next morning, start the, you know, rotation all over again. We're starting to see now that, wow, people are getting decent amounts of sleep and people are, you know, more attentive at meetings because meetings aren't taking as long. You know, we get on here and if we get everything done, we say, okay, and we're done. And we click off and we go back to work. And for some reason, when you're in a conference room, you don't do that. You just kind of keep sitting, talking, and it just kind of keeps droning on. So, you know, the numbers are showing that they're much more productive. People are enjoying life more. They're not feeling as stressed. That all is, you know, going to contribute to healthcare packages that we're paying for everyone. You know, and there are people that don't like to travel. And so they're being sent to meetings and conferences all the time, and they hate every moment of it. Mm-hmm. Suddenly now, you know, they're feeling much more at ease, and they're more focused on the end user or the client, as opposed to the stress of, you know, being on that trip. Yeah. So, you know, I think we're going to continue to see some new and innovative ways of doing things. And while we'll still gather at some point, I don't think it's going to be in the masses we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I love it. So what are some bits of advice that you would have? Like, tell me three takeaways, three or five takeaways for somebody who is interested in your speaker program, that is, you know, a person who wants to use speaking to market their business. So they don't necessarily want to, you know, be the keynoter on the stage, but they do want to use speaking to grow their business. So what are a few things that you think they could benefit from, that you think they need to know, that they will be able to get the resources from your organization?
Sure. So one is preparation. I think there's a real tendency in our world, and social media probably hasn't helped us with this. We tend to be off the cuff, off the fly, throw something together. And unfortunately, probably 80% of the people in the world really aren't good at that. You know, there are some people that can speak off the cuff. It's not everyone. We see it, you know, in politicians. When there's a scheduled speech, some of them can be brilliant. And when they catch them on the sidewalk, you know, the media kind of shoves the microphone in their face. It's a gamble what you're going to get back from them. You know, and that's true of all of us. We're not good at catching off guard. So, you know, preparation, learning how to prepare, how to be ready, even for a 30-second commercial. Yeah. You know, you've got 30 seconds, a tiny window to get your message out and to get the inflection and to really make it notable and creative enough that it sticks with people. Yeah. So, you know, we want to make sure that you're understanding that. We want to make sure that you're understanding the difference in what you do physically, sitting in a chair versus standing, you know, having the right microphone versus you're doing it on your iPhone. Yeah. You know, all of these things contribute, because when quality is poor, we assume quality of your product is poor.
Yeah.
So if I hear a really bad recording, I'm going to assume that your product probably isn't that great, because I equate that to money. You're not spending money on marketing because you can't. And if you can't afford to do that, you can't afford to have a decent product. So we really want to bring that around and let you understand, invest in a good mic, you know, understand to invest in a good camera, do the things that you'll get long-term return on.
Yeah.
Understand your presence and the difference that's going to make. And then I would say, you know, overall, understand who you are. I'm always fascinated by people who have a product and they stand behind that product and they can sell you that product in a heartbeat. But when you say to them, you know, who are you? They just kind of fall apart. They don't understand their own personal brand, and they don't understand that they are a personal brand, even with a product in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, I think a Shark Tank is a really good example of that. You see the people that come out, they come out strong. They come out strong talking about who they are and how they got there. And then they talk about their product. Mm-hmm. And when you see someone that walks out there and they kind of talk really low and they're talking about who they are, but it's always kind of in a down tone. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly they talk about their product and how fabulous their product is. They don't have a personal brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, those sharks recognize that right off the bat. How are you going to be the face of this product if you can't stand up here and sell me on you? Yeah. So we want to make sure that people get, you know, personal brand, understanding of product placement and their self-placement, and preparation in what they're doing.
Yeah, great, great. Those are really great. Well, one thing that I always ask everyone who's on the podcast with me is, what are three traits? I keep asking you for threes here. what are three traits that you think people need to have in order to really soar to success?
Tenacity is one. Okay. If you haven't figured that out, I've had that for a long time. You know, you need to be able to push through when everything is uphill. you need to push through when things happen like the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody foresaw that coming. We never could have dreamed that this would have happened this way. Yeah. So tenacity is key in whatever you're doing. Passion. Passion is huge. You have to believe in your product. No one will buy what you're doing if you don't believe in it. You know, I talked to someone the other day in a consulting group, and one of the consultants is struggling. Her business is not growing like everyone else in the group. And as she talked about it, I mean, there was no life to her talking about it. You know, there was no passion about what she wants to do and what she wants to share. And so if she's not, you know, believing in it, it's really hard for someone else to back her on that. And then the third thing, which I learned very early on, thankfully, and have been blessed with this, which is surrounding yourself with great people. You know, Stephen Covey said years ago, before gurus became, you know, hot in the industry, but he always said, you know, begin with the end in mind and surround yourself with the right people. Yeah. And those are two things that I have held dear for 30 plus years. And it is so true, because at your lowest point, when something doesn't work and you fail, those people are there to help you figure out and re-strategize. Yeah. They believe in you when you're moving a product forward when maybe nobody else does, and they're there to lean on. And that is key, not for your best day, but for your worst day.
Yeah, right, right, exactly. So how can people reach you?
Oh, this is the best part. Yeah. reach out to us. Easiest way is we do have a form on our website at www.downingedtech.com. Okay. And it's got a comment box. You can write in there what you want to ask about, you know, what your inquiry is. That comes directly to me. So there's no one processing your form. I see it, so I know what's coming in. And then we reach out to you and we get started. If you're on LinkedIn, I welcome you to connect with me. I'm at LinkedIn/Cher Downing. You can see, obviously, all the things that I've done, because that's always a great place to learn about somebody quickly. Yeah. But we also keep all the updates up there of what we're doing and where we're going. And then lastly, you can visit www.speakersresourcegroup.com and learn more about our membership. And there's also a connect button for me there as well.
Great. And didn't you have an offer or something?
Of course, we like to give offers. That's the best part for everyone. We want to give either a 3-month membership to the Speakers Resource Group or a call for a free coaching consultation. So if you're thinking, maybe I need a coach, do I need a coach? What does a coach do? We give you a free 30-minute session to talk about what we can do and how we can help. And you decide after that whether you want to pursue something forward or maybe you want to look at something different. If you know, are listening to this and you know that you want to go in and get involved in the Speakers Resource Group, then you can have access to that. And you can do that as simply as filling out the form on our website, and you can just write in the comment box that you heard about us on here, Sort of Success, and we'll reach out to you and get you all set up for your 3-month free membership.
Perfect. That sounds excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. It's been an absolute delight, and I'm really excited to watch this Speakers Resource Group really help a lot of people.
Well, we're excited as well, and I appreciate being on here today.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Soar to Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.